Welcome to the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast, the show where brilliant professionals share how to sharpen the universal skills required to flourish at work, enjoy more career fun, wins, meaning, and money with your host, Pete Mikaitis.
Hello, and thanks so much for joining us here for episode 260 with Dean Lindsay. Dean is talking about fat goals, as in PHAT, pretty hot and tempting, and how to retain that commitment to really make them happen. So you'll learn, one, why it's better to have a real commitment over a good plan, two, what it means to be truly convicted of a goal's value, and three, Dean's six P's of progress. So if you'd like to check out the show notes or the transcript or the links to items that we've referenced here, it's over at awesomeatyourjob.com/ep260. And while you're at awesomeatyourjob.com, I hope you'll check out some of our cool stuff. One cool thing I'll point you to is the 10 Days to Winning at Work email course, which is a selection of bite-sized actionable nuggets from my enhanced thinking and collaboration training programs. So these solutions have been shown to slash, on average, 86 minutes of waste per person per week out of there. So you can take that time to do more cool strategic thinking, creative stuff, or just get home earlier. Whatever good stuff can happen for you with less waste in your work week. So that's over at awesomeatyourjob.com, the 10 Days to Winning at Work email course. And now here is Dean's story. Dean Lindsay is hailed as an outstanding thought leader on building priceless business relationships by Sales and Marketing Executives International, as well as a sales and networking guru by the Dallas Business Journal. His books, How to Achieve Big Fat Goals, The Progress Challenge, and Cracking the Networking Code, have sold over 100,000 copies worldwide and have been translated into Chinese, Hindi, Polish, Korean, Spanish, and Greek. Here is Dean. Dean, thanks so much for joining us here on the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast.
Rock and roll. Thanks for having me, Pete.
We just discussed rock and roll and all of its implications. And so, well, I want to hear about you rocking and rolling, first of all. In how is it you ended up getting a role in the movie Twister? Like, what's the backstory, and how did that go for you?
You know what's funny? No one has ever asked me that.
Awesome. That's what we aspire to as podcast, is to ask those questions. Awesome.
Well, there's actually not only about it, about being in it, but Bill Paxton had a great deal to do as a catalyst, oddly enough, for Big Fat Goals being created. Yeah, so Twister is a long, long time ago. So back in the 90s, 97, when Twister was I was in a acting endeavor, trying to become an actor, had a little bit of success in Walker, Texas Ranger in a couple movies of the week. And
you know Chuck Norris?
Huh? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is he like the legends?
He's a cool cat. That was a really fun experience. But the movie was being shot in Oklahoma, and I live in Texas, and they decided to have a casting possibility for Texas actors. And me and a buddy of mine drove up to Oklahoma City to audition, and I got the part. It was a really, really great experience. I was one of the bad guys driving the black vans, so I was there the entire time. What I was going to say about Bill Paxton, two things. I write about Bill Paxton in my first book, Cracking the Networking Code, because Bill Paxton was an amazing leader, an amazing, happy, gregarious man. And I wrote about him in Cracking the Networking Code. He was just somebody who you just wanted to be around, that guy. He was always there to help. He was always there to lift everybody up. When we were making Twister, the director of photography and the director had a falling out to the degree where the director of photography quit. And when he quit, he took a third of the crew with him. And so we didn't know if they were going to finish the movie. And a lot of the big stars actually went home. They went back to California, or they went to New York City. Bill Paxton did not. He stayed in Ponca City, Oklahoma at the Holiday Inn, and he rallied the troops. And he would be out there playing touch football during the day, and he'd be leading conversations into the evening, encouraging everybody to stay. We're going to get this movie made, And sure enough, it did. It happened. And then in reference to Big Fat Goals, I was working on Big Fat Goals, How to Achieve Big Fat Goals, off and on for about a year and a half. And had a cover design, and it was just kind of slowly moving into existence. But on February 26th of 2017, Bill Paxton died. And when he died, it was on my daughter's birthday. When he died and she came in and told me, I was like, man, if Bill Paxton, who man who is so full of life, who has no health scare, nothing I'd heard about or whatever, is just gone and it's just over. It just spurred me into action and said, you know, you don't get to throw something out there, something that you're going to do later down the road. And so I moved Big Fat up to the very top of my list and got it out into the world.
Well, that's inspiring. Thank you. And a good reminder. That's easy to forget. So, well, now tell us, what is this book, How to Achieve Big Fat Goals, all about? And why is it so important to you to have the world have this?
That's a great question, Pete. You know, there are a lot of goal books out there, and this book really is a companion book to any goal setting book, to any goal planning book, to your daily planner, to whatever that you have, because this is not to compete with SMART goals or anything like that. The biggest challenge that we have to goal achievement is not goal setting, it's goal commitment. Big Fat Goals is about goal commitment. Especially at the beginning of the year, we set these big, lofty goals that we get tingles about. Whoa, you're telling people about what we're going to do. And we don't forget that we're going to do them. What happens is we don't stay connected to why. So that goal is big enough, but it's not fat enough. And that's the fat in the Big Fat Goals acronym, is how we must remind ourselves and continually strengthen the reasons behind the action. Shakespeare says strong reasons make strong actions. Strong reasons make strong actions. Not just reasons, strong reasons. And that goes with also with the competition of what you choose to do with your time as well. If you're not pursuing your goals, you're still pursuing something. And you're pursuing something for a reason. And if you're pursuing something other than your goals, that means that those other things weighed heavier, were fatter in your mind at that moment. Not at the end of the day when you lay your head on the pillow and you think, oh, what I should have done. Or not in the beginning of the day when you're rolling out your lofty plans of what you're going to do that day. But in the nanosecond, commitment is a moment-by-moment decision. And you can say you're committed to something, but it's not about saying it. It's about consistently doing actions that you believe are going to take you closer to your goals. Big Fat Goals, How to Achieve Big Fat Goals, is a goal commitment program. Because if you stay committed to your goals, I guarantee you, you will get a lot closer to achieving them than if you have all the plans in the world. It's not a plan you need, it's commitment.
Okay, now you keep saying fat, and so in text form for the listener, you've spelled that out P-H-A-T, and I don't remember what the movie trailer was, but I feel like when I was a kid, I heard repeatedly, there was a movie where a guy said that some woman was fat, and she was alarmed, like, what? It's like, yeah. P-H-A-T, pretty hot and tempting. And she's good like, job. Oh, okay. What movie was that? I couldn't find
that,
it.
That was Money Talks.
Money Talks. Chris Tucker. Okay. Now we know.
Yeah, Chris Tucker, 1997, was supposedly the first person to say it. And you're also the very first person to ever have that, even that much information.
No one else. See, Dean, I do my research.
Way to be a kid in the 90s. So that basically, I had the program back in 2001. I wrote How to Achieve Big Fat Goals, FAT. And FAT was all about making your goal heavy in your mind. So the premise was basically the same. But then when I found out what FAT stood for, that it stands for pretty, hot, and tempting, I said, wow, that's exactly the same point I'm making. When we choose to pursue some other goal other than our goals, at that moment is prettier, hotter, and more tempting to us. Now, you can say it's not, but it is at that moment. You know, and then we can go deeper into how we make something pretty hot and tempting, you know, by concept of progress versus change. But that's basically it. It's kind of cool to change the letters, but that's not, if that was all I was doing in this book, was just doing a little spelling, have a little spelling fun with the word fat, I'd be really embarrassed. This book is all about that. The whole concept of this book, the way to armor up, the way to compete and go to combat, really, with all the marketing of how you could, would, should, choose to invest your time is to remember. See, it's not about, it's remember, you got to make your goals fatter. You got to be, yes, that's a cool thing to do, right? There's the problem. Another problem that we have, Pete, is that we don't have like one great thing to do and a whole bunch of crappy things to do. We have a bunch of good things. There's a bunch of good choices, right? There's a bunch of good choices, and there's the one of all the things that you could do that will move you closer to your goals. And they're going to be fat. The other options are going to be fat. I'm not saying they're not fat. We need to be realistic. They are fat. Netflix is not making unfat shows to watch. Every show is designed to be fat, right? Binge watching Orange is the New Black, you can't say that is a bad use of your time, right? You can say it's not your choice view of your time, but I mean, thousands of people do it. But is that going to move you closer to your big fat goal? So that's what I'm trying to say here in this book is people a lot of times want to set about setting a goal and then trying to get a plan. But what they really need is commitment. Because what you're going to do when you implement a plan, you're going to run up against roadblocks and difficulties and challenges. And guess what? Your plan was not very good, you know? And so now you got to have to fall back on that commitment to pull it back together and try again.
Okay. I'm sold. Let's talk about it. How do you amp up the commitment, I'd say, up front and then in the moment when you're tempted with the Netflix programming or whatever it may be?
Everything, anything, could be anything. Yeah. Well, I love a quote from Pat Benatar. With the power of commitment, there is no sacrifice.
Okay.
With the power of commitment. So, no, I'm sorry, not the power of commitment. With the power of conviction. Sorry, I knew that I'd said that a little too simply. With the power of conviction, there is no sacrifice. With the power of conviction, there is no sacrifice. Now, to be convicted, that means you know. That means you know. Your New Year's resolution or the goal you set, that is what, of everything you could choose to do, that is it. You are convicted.
Okay, let's be clear. You know, what is it that you know?
That the goal you have for your life is the best choice of all the other things you could choose to do with your time.
Oh, right. I love it. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, this is a high bar that most goals don't reach.
They can reach, but that just means we have to dig into the why. We have to continually say, think of all the different benefits. That's how you get the power of the conviction. See, I love this phrase from Pat Benatar, because you don't just get conviction. How do you get conviction? You know, it's by the pain of actually digging into it. And in the book, I lay out what I call the 6 P's of progress. And it's really the kind of the big psychology. I studied Frankl, Dr. Viktor Frankl's work, logotherapy, and that's kind of what spurred me to create the 6 P's of progress, because logotherapy is all about meaning therapy and how we derive meaning. And so I looked at Dr. Viktor Frankl's concept of meaning, and I kind of took it into the business acumen and tried to kind of chew on it for a while. And I came up with what I call the 6 P's of progress. And that is that everything we do, when I say we, I mean the big, huge collective we, everybody who's listening to this, everybody who's, you know, working, sleep, whatever, everything we do, consciously or subconsciously, we do because we believe the perceived consequences of those actions are that we will feel the unique right mixture of pleasure, peace of mind, profit, prestige, pain avoidance, and power. Pleasure, peace of mind, profit, prestige, pain avoidance, and power. And what that means, Pete, is then whatever goal, and let me say it this way. If somebody gives you an idea of something you could choose to do with your time, listen to the way they say it, because they're going to say something. Hey, it'll be good for you. You'll enjoy it. It'll be fun. Well, that goes right back to the 6 P's of pleasure. It'll bring you pleasure. Now, I'm not saying it won't bring you pleasure. It probably will bring you pleasure. But is it bringing you more pleasure than you staying on task of what you were doing? There's short-term pleasure and there's long-term pleasure. But all marketing comes down to the 6 P's of progress. Pleasure, peace of mind, profit, prestige, pain avoidance, and power. And there are many, many people and professional organizations and associations and commercials, everything, trying to get you to adopt a goal, trying to get you to pursue their goals.
Yeah, like I got to buy that product because that's going to make me money. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to attract a fat lady or gentleman life, you know, a romantic partner.
Right. Yeah. And so if you're going to pursue your goal, then you need to, then your goal has to be fatter.
All right.
Or you're going to be more susceptible to those other things. So what I encourage, you know, people, either in my workshops or in the book, to do is to actually go through and don't just, I call it goal crafting. Don't just craft a goal, but actually go through a few exercises of how will this goal bring me pleasure? How will this goal bring me peace of mind? How will accomplishing this goal, you see what I'm saying? So that when somebody else has other choices of what you could choose to do with your time, or even you, you have weighed your goal down so much that, yes, those other things are still good, just not as good. You, Pete, let me tell you something you might not have heard before. You nor I can do or have it all.
Right.
We cannot.
I'm convinced. Well, indeed. I think Paula Pant says it well, in terms of you can afford anything, you can't afford everything, and I'm right with it when it comes to opportunity cost and that.
Same thing.
And so then I'm really connecting with your sentence there, like you are convicted when you know the goal you've selected is the top best use of your time. And I think that is absolutely true. And I've been there before. And so you gave us a bit of a framework for the six P's. And so then how do we go about doing the hard thinking, the soul searching, the questioning, the exploration, the decision making to arrive at that place of conviction? So the six P's is a handy framework, but I guess I'm thinking, again, there's a billion potential uses of your time. So how do we zero in on the one thing?
That's a great question. You know, I'm not sure if you're asking about the one goal or the one action.
Well, I'm thinking about the one goal. Or are there multiple goals? You tell me. You know, in your framework, are you thinking about use this for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals and priorities of your life? Or how are you envisioning the load of fat goals a life can handle?
Yeah, you know, I kind of purposely stayed away from that aspect of, because it works on any level. Whatever goal you want to have, if it's a big goal, as far as it could be just as simple as choosing to eat healthy, you know, or it could be as much as, you know, trying to get a master's degree. I mean, but the same workings go into it as far as continually selling yourself on the benefits of that goal. I did not write big fat goals to have any kind of sway over anybody on what they should do. Except for to say that if you want to control your mind and your choices, control your why, control your understanding of, and be a lot more realistic about other people's perceived benefits for the actions they want you to take. Come out with us tonight. Come out. You know, plan on going to bed early because you're going to get up and go run, or you're going to get up and do some research for your sales call the next day. Right. And so, you know, there's pros and cons to every activity. So I don't necessarily think that this book should guide you to a direction in life. It's a book to help you stay committed to
okay,
that direction.
Okay, so you're saying that what I'm really pressing on is not what you have created. You're more about maintaining commitment as opposed to arriving at an optimal upfront decision.
I do have some stuff in the book. Yeah, you know, I guess, yeah, you could say, definitely say that. I wouldn't know, but man, I don't know how you could even start or end a book like that. I mean, there's just, now you've opened the whole Pandora's box of everything people could do, and that includes the Peace Corps. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, so, and I don't know your deck of cards. I don't know, you know, the influence you've gotten from other people. So, the only exercise that I do in the book to help kind of spur this kind of conversation, because it's a framework that then people can go back and use over and over and over again. I do have an exercise in the book that has you kind of vision board the next 15 years of your life, everything you want to have, you know, accomplished and done and big stuff, and little stuff, and, you know, food you want to have eaten and people you want to have met and, you know, and bands you want to have seen in concerts and learning to play guitar and all the, and you run through everything you want to have accomplished in 15 years. And then that exercise takes a couple of deep kind of turns to where you do start to see some certain things bubble to the top as far as the ones that are, you know, the biggest ones that you're kind of going after. But even then, it's a very general thing. In some of the workshops when I do them in small groups or webinars, we'll go through the classic Wheel of Life type thing where you're looking at your life and spiritual and financial and family and health and all those things to kind of get a gauge of where things are. But that's also, and as it should be, you know, very subjective.
Right. Well, and so I think that you've surfaced up one or two kind of tools where it comes to imagining over the course of 15 years, what really are the long-term dream that these things are connected to, thinking about the extent to which there is alignment within some goals versus others. I know we're both fans of Jay Papasan with the one thing. What's one thing that would make everything else easier or unnecessary? I think that's an awesome question and book there. So yeah, so thanks for playing ball as I really put you on the spot here. But I think that, you know, that is some of the really hard work up front in terms of arriving there. But you got me really fired up and inspired about how when you arrive at that point of conviction, you know the goal you've selected is the top best use of your time. I think you really are unstoppable. And so you're saying then, once you got that in play, you keep it fresh by making it fatter, digging into the six P's, and any other pro tips for renewing and refreshing that commitment as the temptations arise.
Yeah, one of the things that people talk a lot about writing down goals, and I really believe in writing a goal, but also it's also how you write the goal. I don't encourage people to write a goal just as kind of a reminder of the goal, but actually write it in such a way that it becomes a self-fulfilling affirmation, you know, saying what you do want, not what you don't want, you know, not using future tense, making sure that you're saying things in such a way that it actually gives your mind momentum, that you're crafting it so it propels you into action.
Cool. All right. Well, any final thoughts before we shift gears and talk about some of your favorite things?
Well, I really like what you were throwing out there, Pete. I thank you for shaking it up, because you're right. You're touching on something that there's so much competition of, you know, you said it earlier, options. We have so many options, and that can get incredibly overwhelming. And that's the reason we need to do the deep work to decide what we're supposed to be doing.
If you ever find shipping to be something that's overwhelming, I've recently been slashing through that challenge with some help from Pitney Bowes. Pitney Bowes has been an icon in the shipping industry for over a century, and whether you're shipping just a little bit or a whole lot, Pitney Bowes has got some useful tools for you. You can weigh, print, mail, and save without ever leaving your home or office. Pitney Bowes offers some serious savings a lot of the time over the retail rates you'll find at the post office or UPS. The plans start at just about $5 a month, and Pitney Bowes is offering us a free 90-day trial to help find the optimal shipping solution that works for you. I've been slashing through my backlog of things to send out a whole lot faster, really, since I got my Pitney Bowes Send Pro software all set up, and I'm finding some savings on a number of the shipping options out there, too, which is a pretty handy counterbalance to the $5 monthly fee I pay. It's coming out to be about $0 for me, you know, give or take, depending on my month. For you, it could be much bigger if you're doing a lot of shipping. You can visit pb.com/awesome to learn more and try it for free. They have some terms, so check out the site for the details, and that's pb.com/awesome. And I really appreciate you visiting pb.com/awesome, because when you support our sponsors, you support my family, which means I get to keep taking the time to keep making this show. Now, back to Dean. Certainly. Yeah, cool. Well, now can you share with us a favorite quote, something you find inspiring?
Very cool. Well, I told you that one, that was the one that I definitely, quote from Pat Benatar. But my other favorite quote, I'm pulling it up right now. It comes from my man, Dr. Viktor Frankl. The one that I like a lot is that between stimulus and response, there's a space. And it is in that space that we have the power to choose our response.
Okay, thank you. And how about a favorite book?
Man Search for Meaning.
Yep, that's good. And a favorite tool?
Yeah, I was wondering what that meant.
Oh, sure, yeah. That means sort of like it's an app or piece of software or something that you use frequently that helps you be awesome at your job. Some people say a hammer or a measuring tape or Google Docs, you know, whatever it may be.
What do I use a bunch? I use Canva. Have you ever used Canva?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard a little bit.
Canva is a great tool for making JPEGs and putting, you know, quotes and making social media posts and brochures and LinkedIn headlines. And it's a great tool for making JPEGs.
Right. And do you have a favorite habit?
You have a favorite habit? I have a lot. Yeah. The ones that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do actually, Pete. About 2.5 years ago, my walking shoes or running shoes are right at the back door right now. I walk every morning, probably about five 5-mile loop.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I recommend it. I don't even put on headphones, and I just kind of greet the day and being open and, you know, and taking a lot of deep breaths. And so that's definitely a habit I'm very happy about.
Awesome. And is there a particular nugget you share in your speeches or writing that really seems to connect and resonate with folks? They retweet it, or they quote it back to you. What might that be?
It's a 2-word phrase.
All right.
Be progress. People must view you as, for them to want to be in a relationship with you, they need to view you as the unique right mixture of pleasure, peace of mind, profit, prestige, pain, avoidance, and power, the 6 P's of progress. You must be progress.
Excellent. Thank you. And if folks want to learn more, get in touch, where would you point them?
DeanLindsay.com, DeanLindsay.com.
And do you have a favorite challenge or call to action you'd issue to folks seeking to be awesome at their jobs?
Compliment somebody. Thank them, compliment them, tell them they did good.
Awesome. Well, Dean, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and wisdom and time. You have planted a tantalizing question deep inside me. How does one know the goal you've selected is the top best use of your time? And you've given us a great starting point there. I have a feeling I'm going to be chewing on this for years to come. So much, much appreciated, and good luck in all you're up to with big fat goals and more.
Thank you, Pete.
I found that so potent how Dean highlighted just the power of conviction that emerges when you are truly convinced that pursuing that goal is the highest and best use of your time. And so I think a whole lot of the game is just getting to that point of conviction in the first place. And then Dean is sharing tips and tricks to keep that front center heavy in your mind and holding fast and true amidst the temptations and distractions and other stuff that pops up. So huge and well worth the time, I think, to zoom in on what would be the highest and best use of my time, either globally, like in my whole life, or at least locally, like in terms of accelerating my career progression, or being a great husband or wife, or father or mother, or fitness situation, kind of whatever the thing is, like kind of back to some of that 80-20 stuff and the one thing principles. If you arrive at that place of conviction, if this is the highest and best use of my time toward this goal, that's pretty huge. So I hope that you've taken some goodness from that and Dean's other wisdom. And again, if you want to check out the show notes or the transcript or the links to items that we've referenced, it's over at awesomeatyourjob.com/ep260. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll push subscribe. You'll hear from our next guest. It is a husband-wife duo. It is Heather and Alan Ackman. They are both supremely enthusiastic about PowerPoint. So they're going to share some principles and perspectives for what makes that effective. And I hope to catch you there. Peace.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. To get the most out of this conversation, visit awesomeatyourjob.com to find today's show notes, transcript, and infographic summary cheat sheet. For more entertaining professional skill sharpening, be sure to subscribe to catch the next episode of How to Be Awesome at Your Job.